Hello, Calvary Church. Thank you for joining us today. This is a CWOW weekend message, and however you're joining us, from wherever you're joining us, really glad that you're here. My name's Scott. I'm one of the pastors at Calvary Harvest Fields, and we're going to be talking this today, and I say we because I'm actually going to be here with my wife, Thea, but we're going to be talking about Front Yard Mission. Specifically in the context of how we see it kind of merging, blending, being a part of the Gritty Light series that we're currently in here at Calvary that Pastor Dan's been bringing to us the last couple of weeks. And some of the themes of the Gritty Light series is this idea of we're blessed to be a blessing. God has blessed us. He saved us. He's reconciled us to himself. And we're thankful for that. We celebrate that. And then in the context of those truths, we're called to then take those truths, take those blessings, take the things that we've received from God and offer those things to those around us, the people that we're living life around, and share the blessings that we've been given there. We're not blessed just to enjoy the blessings, but we're blessed to be a blessing to those around us. So we're going to talk about kind of some of the needs that represent themselves in on our hashtags. And if you don't know what a hashtag card is, that's okay. It's one of the tools or resources that we have here at Calvary in the context of FYM. It's basically just, you know, the pound sign, a hashtag, your name in the middle, and the names of the eight people around you that you're just kind of committing to pray for. And so we're going to be talking about, you know, those people. They might be next door neighbors, they might be coworkers, they might be friends, family, but it's people that you're living life around, and how do we meet the needs? What do the needs look like, and how do we meet them? And then also, what are some of the obstacles that would maybe cause us to need to be gritty, you know, to not give in, to not give up, to not kind of throw in the towel, but to just continue to lean in to who God's called us to be in the context of our neighborhoods, our communities, our workplaces, that sort of thing. But we also realized as we were talking that it would probably make some sense to unpack a little bit of what FYM is, Front Yard Mission, because not everybody on listening today is necessarily familiar with it. Some people might be new to Calvary or just new to the concept of Front Yard Mission. So kind of thought maybe you could unpack or put your words to what Front Yard Mission is all about.
Yeah. So Front Yard Mission, or FYM, is basically a mixture of the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, where God tells us to love God, to love neighbors, and make disciples. When I think of Front Yard Mission, it's a lifestyle, it's not a program, and it's loving those around us. You mentioned the hashtag, and the hashtag doesn't necessarily mean it has to be your direct neighbors on your block. For some, like us, it is partially that. It's also, for me, coworkers. It can be people that you're in your dorm with or classmates. It's any people who you are close to and you are praying for consistently. One of the things that I love to learn about my hashtag that I didn't know about until I went through the Front Yard Mission class, I'm not sure if you want to chat about that at all, but the first step was putting their names on. And then as you got to know your neighbors or those who are on your hashtag, you could write other notes. For me, I thought about where we lived in Milroy, and we lived in our house for 6 years, and our direct neighbor, we did not learn their names until the week we were moving out. Yeah. And we decided when we moved to our new house, that was going to be different. We were going to know our neighbors. And for us, it's been a major blessing to get to know them.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a humbling admission, but I think it's not an uncommon thing. You know, it's not an uncommon reality that we've run into, even as we've been talking about FYM for a number of years here at Calvary. You still run into people, and you know, we need to remind yourself of, you know, how tunnel vision we can get in our own lives, what we have going on in our own schedules with our own families, and you just kind of go through life on these you know, these rails basically that just kind of, if you're not careful, just take you from one day to one week to one month to one year, and you're just kind of coasting through, and you're a little bit oblivious to the people that are living life around you. So yeah. Thank you for sharing that. And I honestly probably would have forgot that. I just pushed that negative memory right out of my mind. But yeah. You know, and it's also worth just, you know, to touch base real quick, you know, again, in the context of Front Yard Mission, you know, we talk about kind of three basic rhythms. There's pray first, invite all, or love all, or serve all, and invite often. So it's the rhythm of prayer, and that's kind of the, that's where everything gets started. You just say, I'm going to start praying for these people consistently, just praying God's best and God's blessing over their lives. And then you start looking for opportunities as you pray for God to open a door that you can connect, that you can serve, that you can do something to let you start building a relationship. And then as that starts happening, you do the invitation. You know, maybe it's an invitation into your space for a meal or a backyard for a, you know, s'mores or something like that. You do an invitation into your life where you actually start kind of sharing with them. It's not just a, hey, have dinner, we talk about the weather, but you actually start sharing your life. You can start sharing your faith, your testimony of what God's done in your life, all within with the hope, you know, the ultimate motive, not the ulterior motive of yeah, seeing the people that we've been praying for have an encounter with Christ, be reconciled back into relationship with God. So, yeah.
I think the big thing is it's just about loving people. Many of us are doing this naturally, and it's not a checklist of I completed that hashtag card, but it's truly all about loving those around us and making connections, which I'm going to talk about a little bit later as one of the reasons why it's important to do Front Yard Mission.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, two of the main themes of this series that we're in, it's blessed to be a blessing, and it's a gritty light. It's kind of that idea of like, hey, we got to roll up our sleeves. God's called us to persevere, to lean in, to be a blessing, even when things get hard. And so, you know, two areas that we thought would be worth talking through is one, kind of what are some of the needs, you know, around us, you know, some of them that maybe are obvious and some that maybe aren't so obvious. And how do you kind of lean into those things and how do you gauge what they are and all those types of things. And then the second thing is just kind of the obstacles. You know, if we're talking about grit, we're talking about kind of tenacity and sticking with it and not giving up. What are some of the obstacles that we might run into in the context of trying to love our neighbors, our coworkers, moving out in love towards those around us? And what are the things that might cause us to want to throw in the towel or give up or not have the grit? So I figure let's start with kind of meeting the needs of those around us. You know, the first thing that comes to my mind, I think both of us, as we were kind of talking about it, the natural one is kind of the physical needs. You know, like you look around your neighborhood and it's like, okay, well, who's maybe having some health problems and they could use help, you know, mowing the lawn or getting something fixed up around the house. You know, that's a big thing with Serve Week that we do. It's a lot of times the projects that we do there are projects all around Center County of people who just aren't able to get those jobs done themselves for a variety of reasons. And the church kind of steps in and you meet those needs. And it's a fantastic way of starting to make connections with people, again, looking for those opportunities to serve. But the reality is sometimes, especially in kind of the early days of your Front Yard Mission, you might not know. Yeah. I know for us, we talk about, like, you know, in our neighborhood, you look down to the right, you look down the street to the left, and it's like everybody seems to be gainfully employed. They've got a nice house. They've got one or two cars in the driveway. They've got plenty of money for health insurance and groceries. And so just to the natural eye, it doesn't look like there's all that much need. And so kind of like, hey, how do you lean into meeting the needs of the people around you when they're not physical needs that are obvious to see? Yeah. You'd mentioned about, and we talked about kind of that idea of beyond just physical, like community.
Yeah. So we were talking about how, and I'm not sure if it was you or Pastor Dan that shared it in a sermon, but last year, the Surgeon General released findings that we are in an epidemic of loneliness and feeling of isolation. And they said one out of two people are feeling that they are not connected. And to me, this is like my passion is to help people to feel seen and loved. So that was where I automatically jump in when it comes to Front Yard Mission. For us, one way to do this is we love to have people over, whether it be for dessert, a meal, just talking even is such a blessing. And it helps people to find that connection. There is something about breaking bread with someone that allows this connection to where people feel that they are truly seen and heard. People that we've had over once 4 years ago, when we see them at Calvary, you immediately are like, oh, you know, you're excited to see each other because you go back to that time. And I feel like so many people, more than if it's one out of two people, it's more than we ever would have known or even thought to be feeling that way.
Yeah.
And how much more important it is for us to be including others. It could be to have them over, but maybe you're not there yet. Maybe it's give them a call, send a text message, or go out for coffee. You can do, it doesn't, you know, small things. It doesn't have to be a big elaborate party or a picnic in the backyard. For some, it's starting at donuts in the driveway or grabbing lunch out to eat, not in your home, or in your home, works best for you.
Well, I love that that picture too of it doesn't have to be a big thing, because mm-hmm. something that you're very passionate about is, and you mentioned this, is that idea of helping people to feel seen and appreciated. Yeah. You know, and there's just something about, you know, if you're able to make a connection with somebody that instills in them the reality that you see worth in them, it can go a powerfully long way, you know. And again, you know, kind of in that, because this isn't completely outside of that idea of like, well, it's you don't necessarily see isolation with the natural eye. You can't necessarily like look around your street and just be like, oh, that person's isolated, that person's not, that person's lonely, that person's not. But with the statistics that came out with that report from the Surgeon General, you know, one out of two adults reporting that they have a sense of loneliness. It's like, unless you have a really good reason to believe otherwise, like some kind of proof to think that your neighborhood doesn't fit that statistic, we should probably assume that at least half, you know, of the people on our street are feeling lonely or feeling isolated or feeling disconnected, and lean into that. It seems to me like it's a really natural space for the church to step in and make a difference.
You know, I even think one small way that I think could go a long way is constantly we're thinking positive things about someone. It could be something as simple as, oh, I like that dress, or I like how they helped that person. Instead of just thinking it, share it with them. Write a note to a coworker or a neighbor to say, I really liked how you did that.
Yeah.
And I think that could be a great start to forming those connections and helping people to feel seen.
Yeah. It's something I've been convicted of is I often thought of myself as an encouraging person, but I realized that a lot of the encouraging things they stopped here. Mm-hmm. I had a lot of encouraging thoughts that stayed in my head and therefore didn't encourage anybody, you know, but it left me feeling like, man, I'm such an encourager. And it's like, well, not if the person doesn't know what it is. So I love that idea of just saying, and the simplicity of it, just leave a little note, you know, even if a conversation feels intimidating, you know. And then on top of the physical needs and you know, the need for community and connection, you know, there's also just the reality of the spiritual needs. You know, it's not to say that we're in this position, or any of us are in the position of saying, you know, making the judgment call on which neighbor or coworker is saved or not saved. But what we do know is everybody's greatest need is a relationship with Christ. It's reconciliation back into relationship with the Father. It's, you know, you call it salvation. You know, it's the forgiveness of sins, but it's the adoption in as children of God. And so that's a way that you can always be praying. And even if you think, hey, maybe this person is knows Jesus, you know, maybe they're already a Christ follower, then pray for that relationship to deepen. You know, pray for them, you know, saved or unsaved, pray for them the spiritual things that you wish somebody was praying for you, or that you would pray for your own self, your own marriage, your own family. It's like, pray that way for the family across the street, or the guy in the next cubicle, or the person in the classroom with you. You know, it's like, but there's an opportunity there, even when you're not sure of how to meet a physical need or how to serve. You can genuinely serve the person through prayer and just kind of, again, pray God's best and God's blessing over their lives. And I think that's a really good, you know, we were at a staff retreat. I mentioned this to you earlier. The guy who was there talking to is Reggie McNeil. He said, if you want to be countercultural in this day and age, offer people hope.
Yeah.
And even if you're not able to do that through service, you can offer people hope through prayer by just kind of releasing the blessing of God into their lives. So, you know, so that's kind of the idea of blessing, meeting needs, blessed to be a blessing. How do we identify the needs? How can we step into some of those needs and be that blessing that we're trying to be. But also, there's that idea of needing to be gritty, of there's obstacles. You know, there's things that get in the way. There's things that can make us either lose sight of what we're trying to do or lose heart mm-hmm. in what it is that we're trying to do. And you know, we talked about some of those obstacles. One of the first ones that you brought up was busyness.
Absolutely. For those of you who do not know Scott and I well, we have 5 children ranging from a high school senior to twins in third grade. And fall, it's sports season, and we have a lot of working in our schedule where we're running kids here and there to different practices. And it goes, the time flies by. I think we talked all summer about having a pizza party for our neighbors, and we did not get it done. And I think it hit me the other day when we were driving to work or to school. I was going to work, and we saw a neighbor, and Micah, our 10-year-old, looks at me and goes, "Mom, why don't we have them over anymore?" I said, "Oh, what do you mean, honey?" And he's like, "We don't have our neighbors over anymore. Why not?" And that was a very humbling moment on, you know, we need to reprioritize. We have let our busy schedule get in the way, because you always think next week is going to be less busy. Let's look at it then. But the next thing you know, it's 3 months and we haven't done it. And I think part of Front Yard Mission and following Christ is we have to disadvantage ourselves. And part of that's with our time. We have to be willing to lay some things aside, even good things, in order to make space. Or invite those people into your space. For example, if you know that you're going to be at a soccer practice, one of my closest friends, we kind of met and got close through soccer, where we were both sitting and we decided, let's start walking around the track. And that developed years worth of friendship because we invited each other into that busy space. Or maybe it's, you know, you're going to a certain event or you're going to eat dinner anyways. Can you invite someone into that space to join you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think probably one of the most common answers that you get from when you ask anybody how they're doing, it's busy.
Yeah.
You know, the number one answer is, "Oh, I'm busy. We're so busy. Things are so busy." And I think that's one of the main things, and I think it's cultural, you know, because on one hand, it's like you kind of know it's not fully true, because there's also those studies that are like, you know, the average person is spending 6 hours a day on screen time. And it's like, okay, well, how can that be true? And we're just so busy that we can't fit anything in. But there's just a cultural kind of rhythm of just busyness, filling your time with things all the time. And you know, God's really calling us to, hey, fill your time with people, you know, not just neighbors, not just at church, you know, it's family. It's this balance that we're all kind of living in that tension. But the reality of just kind of saying like, hey, we all know, you know, if you're a follower of Jesus for any length of time, you know, we've been given the ministry of reconciliation. You know, we're told that in Scripture, and we're also told that we're called to follow after the example of Christ. And so we know that this is the way we're supposed to live. We're supposed to make people a priority because Jesus made people a priority. And I think one of the things that can cause us to not stick with it, you know, to not have that grittiness, that tenacity to just say, "I'm not," is we kind of throw in the towel with our schedules. We just kind of, like you said, we say like, "Well, maybe next week or next month or next season we'll be a little less busy," and you just kind of mail it in for this time. And you don't do the hard work of just saying, okay, like, well, what do I have on the calendar that maybe I can't get off the calendar, but I could invite somebody to do it with me? I got to walk the dog. Who could I invite to walk the dog with me? Our family's going to eat dinner. Can we invite somebody to eat dinner with us? But also having the hard conversation of what can we remove? What is the thing that maybe we need to take off the calendar so that we can make space to be available for our neighbors? So, and then kind of along with the obstacle, the busyness obstacle, I think sometimes we just lose heart. You know, we've had some events and we've invited a bunch of neighbors and we've had some good turnouts, but we've also had times where it's like the turnout wasn't great, or yeah, hardly anybody comes or nobody comes. You know, we have neighbors that we've invited over and over and over again and they just don't come. And sometimes, you know, you kind of put yourself out there to say like, all right, I'm going to take this step. there is some vulnerability to it. You feel a little bit vulnerable because you're kind of setting yourself up to maybe be rejected, or at least feel like you're being rejected by the neighbors that don't show up. And after that happens, you know, once or twice or three times, you can kind of start losing heart. You can get frustrated. You're like, oh, they don't care. They don't. And so, you know, not only do you stop inviting them into your space or inviting them to an event, but sometimes you just stop praying because it just kind of feels like they're not interested. Yeah. And so, you know, I think that's another area where we just need to kind of lean in and talk to Jesus. Be honest with God. He knows. He knows how we're feeling. He knows what's going on in our hearts. He knows what it's like to be rejected and put yourself out there and have people say, no thanks, not interested. And just bring it to Him and say, God, help me. You know, if nothing else, help me to just keep praying, you know, and help me to pray until there is breakthrough, you know, that comes in the midst of this. So, yeah, I think there's a lot of worth to that.
Absolutely.
Did you have any other kind of closing thoughts as we're wrapping up? Anything else as far as, like, encouragement for somebody, how they could just stick with it, not give up, blessed to be a blessing, anything like that? Any kind of closing thoughts you'd offer?
I think for me, it would just be to be willing to make that first step. Even if you think it's small, prayer is never small, or that first text or an invitation, the amount that not only will you be blessing others, but you are opening yourself up to so many blessings as well. I think about the people that we have talked to, and we've been so encouraged and blessed to be able to call them friends now. So I would just say, be vulnerable to take that first step.
Yeah. I just wanted to kind of close with reading one verse from Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It's a lot of you have probably heard, but it just says this: let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. So I just want to encourage you, no matter where you are in the FYM journey, whether you've been leaning in for a while or you're contemplating taking that first step, I would just say lean in. Be tenacious, be gritty, you know, don't give up. And like this is saying, don't grow weary of doing good. Continue to lean in, continue to ask God for opportunities to love, serve your neighbors, continue to pray for them to have an encounter with Christ. And in due time, we're going to reap a harvest if we do not give up. There's a book I read recently, and one of the quotes was that every Christian is meant to be a quiet, consistent source of blessing. And I just think, yeah, amen to that. Let's lean into that. Let's make that the goal of our lives and our communities and our workplace, that through prayer, through kind of releasing God's goodness in people's life through prayer, let's be quiet, consistent streams of blessing. Thank you again so much for joining us, and have a great week.